Welcome to the Macmahon 2023 results presentation, and thank you for joining us today. I'm Mick Finnegan, the Chief Executive Officer and Managing Director of Macmahon, and I'm joined today by our CFO, Ursula Loomis, and Donald James, our Chief Commercial Officer. We appreciate your time and the opportunity to run you through today's presentation in what is clearly a busy time of year, and there definitely will be an opportunity for questions following the presentation. Moving on to slide two, up front, I'm pleased to report Macmahon performed well in FY23 with record underlying earnings, margin improvement and positive free cash flow, which importantly signals the end of our CapEx-heavy growth cycle consistent with our strategy. Our financial metrics were up across the board. This was in spite of a challenging operating environment experienced by the sector, which includes cost inflation, skilled labour shortages and unseasonal wet weather on the east coast of Australia, largely experienced in the first half. In the second half, we saw improvement across the business, which was reflected in our quarter four underlying EBITDA margins reaching our 8% long-term target. This performance has seen us meet our revenue and earnings guidance for the sixth consecutive year and generate free cash flow. If you recall, we recently narrowed our guidance ranges, so this is an excellent achievement. Ursula will talk to our financial performance in detail, but some key call-outs are underlying revenue was up after commencing many new projects during 22 and 23. An order book increased after securing Greenbushes and key contract extensions at Telfer, Matabe, Byerwen and Buttahegia. Underlying EBITDA was up 16% to $116.6 million from FY22, and our margin for the year was 6.1%, up from 5.4% at the half. This is off the back of a strong Q4, which I mentioned earlier, and we will be looking to continue this momentum into FY24. We also improved return on average capital employed to 14.5%, which is approaching our long-term target of 15%. I actually now expect this to be the floor given the end of the high capex growth cycle and the focus on managing capital employed in our business. The growth in earnings and free cash flow allowed us to increase our dividend for the second half to 0.45 cents per share. This brings the full year dividend to 0.75 cents per share and equates to a 23.3% payout ratio, in line with our revised policy of 20 to 35% of underlying earnings per share. I'll talk more on our guidance for FY24 when I discuss the outlook, but you'll see that we expect the positive earnings momentum to continue with a meaningful increase in expected underlying EBITDA and in margins. Our guidance performance on slide three demonstrates our consistency in delivering on what we say. Notwithstanding some uncertain market conditions, particularly in recent years, and we're proud that we have reliably performed to our market guidance without surprises for an extended period. I'm incredibly proud of the entire Macmahon team for delivering on the guidance for the sixth consecutive year, made possible by our team's dedication to continuous improvement and the disciplined execution of our order book and strategy. Slide 4 outlines the progress we have made in diversifying and expanding our revenue to include more underground mining, mining support services and civil infrastructure projects. This has continued to be a major focus and has contributed to our positive results. We believe we made meaningful progress during FY23, particularly in the underground space where revenue of almost $500 million accounts for a quarter of Macmahon's FY23 revenue. Furthermore, underground opportunities make up over a third of the $10.6 billion tender pipeline, providing scope for future growth. Building our brand as a meaningful underground mining contractor will continue to be a priority, as will accelerating growth in our mining support services and civil infrastructure business, which accounted for 9% of revenue in FY23. This will include bolstering our capability and capacity, as well as expanding strategic partnerships that will enable us to successfully execute larger scale civil infrastructure projects in the coming years. Our strategic progress has enabled Macmahon to consolidate and optimise our core surface mining business, which provides scale and contract tenure. This foundation is being leveraged to diversify more selectively in a lower capital intensive project opportunities. While our surface mining business does have more room to grow, our key focus is on optimising margins, cost and capital efficiency and pursuing lower capital intensive opportunities. We believe this shift into less capital intensive work will not only play a critical role in achieving our long-term target of building a prudently managed, more resilient, diversified and scalable business, but will also enable the sustainable delivery of a return on average capital employed of greater than 15%. Turning to slide 5 and talking margins, as you may know, our underlying EBITDA margin target is 8% or greater. I'm pleased to report our second half performance has seen us move closer to this target, with the business achieving 7.2% for the second half and 6.8% underlying EBITDA margin for the full year when you exclude the zero margin cost recovery revenue related to the Batu Hijau Phase 7 contract. This result was impacted by the unseasonal wet weather on the east coast during the first half, returning to normality in the second half, the Batu Hijau 8 agreement commencing in April, which removed the zero margin cost recoveries, inflation moderating, allowing rise and fall mechanisms to catch up, and our underground business achieving scale of nearly $500 million a year in revenue. Notably, we have seen margin improvement as the year progressed, with the final quarter of FY23 seeing us reach our target and deliver 8.1% underlying EBITDA margins, positioning us well for FY24. Now on slide 6, from an operational perspective, the profitable and safe execution of existing contracts while managing the industry headwinds I noted has been a focus this year. In the surface space, Telfer has extended and continues to perform well. The King of the Hills project achieved record gold production in the last quarter of FY23, which is very pleasing, and $2.6 billion of strategically aligned new work was secured during the year. This included the $1.1 billion Greenbushes lithium project, which commenced on the 1st of July 2023. In underground, as I mentioned earlier, we have grown our business significantly, with revenue increasing from $53 million a year in FY18 to $472 million a year in FY23. This has been achieved through optimising and growing our operations at Gwalia, Boston Shaker, King of the Hills and Deflector. We are looking to continue this momentum and are targeting a further 50% increase in underground revenue over the next 2 to 3 years to achieve real scale and be a meaningful participant in this sector. In mining support services and civil infrastructure, we have a significant focus on building internal capability and capacity to execute larger scale civil infrastructure engineering rehabilitation projects. The Fimiston Tailings Storage Facility project commenced during the year and is progressing well. Our tender pipeline is highly filtered and focused on where Macmahon has existing relationships and a competitive advantage. And at a corporate level, we've been able to attract talent in a tight skilled labour market and have increased our workforce by over 500 people during the year to 8,368 people. And in recent times, we have seen retention improve, which is critical for us. Skilled labour shortages do continue in Australia, particularly in the equipment maintenance and skilled operator area, whilst in Southeast Asia, it's continued to be a more balanced market. Although supply chain shortages and delays are normalising and high cost inflation is moderating, we will continue to manage these areas of the business as proactively as possible. Slide 7 is a recap of our key projects, their tenure, cost curve profile and related commodity exposure. Some key call-outs include the addition of the Greenbushes project, where we commenced on 1 July, and I'll talk a little bit more about that shortly. The addition of Fimiston, which commenced during the year, and two of our alliance projects, Batu Hijau and Byerwen, which were importantly extended this year. Slide 8 is another regular feature in our presentations and outlines the portfolio diversity in the business. As you can see, we have strength and diversity across our major clients. Our commodity mix is made up of approximately 75% gold and gold copper on a revenue basis. Pleasingly, next year we will have the addition of the battery mineral lithium with the commencement of Greenbushes. We're also diversifying our business mix into the lower capital intensity business of underground and mining support services and civil infrastructure, with these businesses accounting for 35% of the FY23 revenue. Slide 9 provides a summary of our recently commenced Greenbushes Lithium project. It is owned by Talison Lithium, an excellent partner who we have built a great relationship with during both the tendering and start-up phases. Since commencement, key equipment and ancillary plant has been mobilised and ramp-up will occur through FY24. Over 180 McMahon employees have been inducted on site and are working on the project. The total workforce is planned to be approximately 350 people by the end of FY24. I'd like to thank the whole team for getting us to this point successfully, and I'm looking forward to seeing continued growth at this project. Critical to our business is safety management and the engagement of our people, and our progress in this space is outlined on slide 10. On the safety and wellbeing front, our TRIFR showed another year of positive progress, decreasing from 4.8 to 3.9 during the year. This is significant considering our team grew to nearly 8,400 people, and the proportion of industry new entrants is higher than normal. There was also work completed to improve risk management processes across the business with an external review and strengthening of our critical risk management program, plus education and training to ensure we effectively manage this. Throughout the year, we have continued to invest in international recruits, apprenticeships, skill upgrade programs, and new to industry training through the Grow Our Own program. We trained 758 people, including 453 internal trainees, 149 external trainees, 30 graduates, and 126 apprentices. In addition to these programs, we recently launched a new to industry program for the Australian Defence Force veterans. FY23 saw continued focus on embedding our evolved company values through the Winning at McMahon program and the rollout of our diversity and inclusion roadmap. We'll continue to evolve and execute key initiatives in FY24, which includes additional pulse checks and engagement surveys to monitor progress. In FY24, our primary focus will be on further developing our culture. In August 2022, McMahon introduced its evolved company values, defining how we collaborate, interact, and contribute to the ongoing success of our organisation. These values have become the driving force behind our achievements, and we are determined to build upon them to create an even stronger and more cohesive team. Moving to sustainability on slide 11. At McMahon, we are committed to embedding sustainability within our business strategy, operations and culture, so we can continue to grow responsibly and in a way that delivers positive outcomes to our team members, customers, investors, and the communities in which we operate. While we do have a separate sustainability report that we have just released, I would like to call out some highlights from last year. We developed our sustainability framework and are now baselining our environmental footprint to inform our targets and roadmap development. Our First Nations representation was 4.7%, with overall attrition decreasing. We had female representation at our highest levels, including one-third female non-executive directors and 57% in our executive leadership positions. We continue to execute our sexual harassment roadmap, including bystander training, independent culture reviews and pulse checks to ensure we are making solid progress. I'll now hand over to Ursula, who will take us through our year-end financials.
Thanks, Mick. Good morning, everyone, and thank you again for joining us today. Further to Mick's overview on our FY23 results, slide 13 provides some additional context on our financial performance. For FY23, we continued to deliver growth in revenue, underlying EBITDA and EBITA. This was primarily driven by organic growth across the business, the ramp-up of existing projects, including Deflector and Boston Shaker, and also the inclusion of a full year of revenue from projects that commenced in FY22, being the King of the Hills, both surface and underground sites, and Warrawoona. Turning to the chart at the bottom right, whilst the underlying EBITA margin for the year increased to 6.1%, this was subdued in the first half, with the unseasonal wet weather on the East Coast and the ongoing inclusion of the zero margin pass-through costs of Batu Phase 7. Slide 14 provides more details on our financial performance, including the performance for the half years over the past 2 years. Although revenue for the year was up 12% to $1.9 billion, the reduction in the second half of FY23 was primarily driven by the commencement of Batu Phase 8. From the 1st of April 2023, the zero margin pass-through costs I previously mentioned have now been removed. Underlying EBITDA and EBITA growth was positive at 6% and 16% respectively, with the organic growth across the business and the full ramp-up of all projects. As previously mentioned, the underlying EBITA margin improved over the second half of FY23 from 5.4% to 6.8% due to the reasons noted. Importantly, with ongoing improvement across the business and the removal of the pass-through costs from the 1st of April 23, we achieved an EBITA margin for the fourth quarter of 8.1%. Effective borrowing costs increased to 5.7% at 30 June 2023, up from 4.8% in the prior year. This reflects increases in the cash rate during the year. Underlying net profit after tax was up 7% to $67.7 million. Driving our underlying earnings per share to 3.22 cents, a nice improvement on the prior year with a good half-on-half growth. And as Mick said in his introduction, on the back of this performance, we have declared a final dividend of 0.45 cents per share, bringing our full-year dividends to 0.75 cents per share with a payout ratio of 23.3% and an increase on last year. Management has focused on driving cash flow generation throughout the year, so it's pleasing to see on slide 15 an increase in underlying operating cash flow before interest and tax to $306 million, up 13%. Underlying EBITDA cash conversion was 99%, up from 93% in FY22. The chart on the right-hand side shows our return on average capital employed in the business. We achieved a return of 14.5%, up from FY22 and approaching our 15% target. We expect this return to continue increasing as the capital intensity of the business reduces and earnings growth continues, together with a meaningful contribution from Greenbushes as the project ramps up to steady state. The cash flow net debt waterfall on slide 16 provides an overview of the major cash movements during the year that have contributed to the reducing closing net debt position at 30 June 2023. Underlying EBITDA was a major driver of cash generation, with $308 million in FY23, up 6%. The primary differences between underlying EBITDA and net operating cash flow was a cash conversion of 99% and payments for interest, tax, software as a service, and the corporate development costs. The largest cash outflow for the year was expenditure for property, plants and equipment of $239 million and includes $29 million in new tyre fitments during the year. Excluding the tyres, CapEx spend of $211 million, all sustaining and extension, was above our original forecast of $194 million, and this was primarily due to the Matabe contract extension, where certain equipment with longer lead times arrived on site shortly prior to the end of the financial year. The inclusion of tyres through CapEx, previously recognised in accruals, is due to the extension of tyre lives beyond 1 year, resulting in a change in treatments at the end of FY22. On average, this does not have a significant impact to the EBITA, as the tyres continue to be expensed across the year as they are consumed. FY24 CapEx, excluding the new tyre fitments, is expected to be $203 million, which includes sustaining CapEx of $171 million and growth CapEx of $32 million, primarily for Greenbushes. The key highlight on this slide is the company produced $34.7 million of free cash flow, and this is after paying interest and tax. A strengthened balance sheet and liquidity position at the end of the financial year is summarised on slide 17. Net debt, including right of use, reduced from $215 million to $202 million at year-end, with a corresponding reduction in gearing from 27.8% to 24.9%. Net debt to underlying EBITDA improved to 0.65 times. These metrics are below our internal guardrails of less than or equal to 30% and 1 times respectively. Cash on hand of $218 million, together with the unutilised facilities at year-end, totaled $300 million, improved from June 2022 of $256 million. In July, the company added a new $50 million tranche to the existing syndicated debt facility, which, after a $6 million amortised payment, further improves the liquidity by net $44 million that can be used for general corporate purposes. The new tranche matures in September 2026 in line with the existing facility. The other key ratio on the slide is the return on average capital employed of 14.5% for FY23. This was in line with our expectations and is an improvement from FY22. As I've mentioned before, the business is well positioned to deliver on an average capital employment target of greater than 15% moving forward. Thank you for your attention, and I will now hand you back to Mick before we open for questions.
Thanks, Ursula. On slide 19, we deep dive into our strategy, which focuses on responsibly growing our business and optimising underlying EBITDA margins, cash flow and return on average capital employed through diversifying earnings mix and reducing the capital intensity of the business. It has remained consistent and provided a foundation for growing our business as we have faced changing market cycles and conditions. The first pillar focuses on consistently delivering target margins and improving operational performance through our people and mining technology offerings. Critical to delivering on our long-term targets is a continuing engagement and investment in our people and ensuring our processes and systems are relevant and efficient. This will ensure we have a competitive advantage, are sustainable and can provide unique offerings to our clients. Diversifying and expanding into more underground mining support services and civil infrastructure projects has been a major focus for us and is captured under pillars 3 and 4. As I said earlier, we have made good progress in advancing our underground business, now nearing $500 million of revenue per annum. And I see plenty of scope for this to grow further. And in our civil infrastructure business, there's clearly room and a strong desire to accelerate growth. This business currently comprises 9% of our FY23 revenue. This shift in a less capital intensive businesses will create a more diversified and scalable business and aligns with our targets to deliver an underlying EBITDA margin of greater than 8% and return on average capital employed of greater than 15%. With our financial targets in mind, we will continue to explore all opportunities to improve our balance sheet and accelerate this growth in focused, strategic areas to drive earnings, cash flow and return on average capital employed. Before I talk about the outlook for FY24, I want to walk you through our order book and tender pipeline on slide 20. Our order book remains strong at $5.1 billion and includes $2.6 billion in new and extension work won in FY23. It also factors in the removal of $500 million of zero margin cost pass-through revenue related to the commencement of Buttigieg Phase 8 in April of this year. The order book runoff chart on the left shows a high volume of secured work for FY24 and 25 at $1.6 and $1.3 billion respectively. And this excludes any short-term churn work, which is usually between $100 to $150 million per annum, putting us in a very strong position for the years ahead. The tender pipeline of highly filtered, strategically aligned and credible project opportunities has grown to $10.6 billion. With continued activity in the mining sector and supports a positive longer-term outlook for our business. You can see from the pie chart on the right that we have identified a considerable number of opportunities in underground mining, mining support services and civil infrastructure, which together represent 65% of the pipeline. We see significant revenue growth potential for Macmahon in these areas. We believe demand for our services and skills has never been greater, at a time where we are seeing progressive industry consolidation. We're in a unique position to leverage our capability to pursue valuable existing and emerging opportunities, which we believe will create long-term sustaining shareholder value enhancement. Macmahon's capital allocation policy is outlined on slide 21. It reflects the importance of paying dividends to our shareholders, balanced with the priority of retaining financial flexibility to enable the continued execution of our strategy. With that in mind, we have reviewed our targeted dividend payout ratio range, and from FY24, we will increase the range from 10 to 25% to 20 to 35% of underlying earnings per share. This is on the back of achieving consistent earnings growth, record underlying earnings, free cash flow, and confidence in the outlook as we approach our long-term strategic targets. You can see in the graphs at the bottom of the slide that Macmahon has delivered significant growth in revenue, underlying NPAT, and underlying earnings per share over the past 5 years, whilst maintaining strong disciplines around the balance sheet management. We have had consistent compliance with our internal net debt to EBITDA leverage ratio and gearing guide rails, and we are now seeing both reduce consistent with our plans. This will ensure we return stable cash to shareholders in accordance with our new dividend payout policy I just mentioned. I also note that our price to earnings ratio is more than halved during the same period, which presents, in my view, an opportunity. That brings me to slide 22, our priorities and outlook for FY24. Our order book and robust tender pipeline continue to support a positive demand outlook for the business, supporting our confidence in continued growth. While we have seen interest rates continue to rise in response to high inflation, this is now beginning to moderate, and Macmahon continues to manage these, as well as the tight labour market across Australia. We have demonstrated our ability to effectively manage these challenges through investment in developing and growing our workforce internally, as well as our alliance approach to contracting. We will remain consistent in our areas of focus for the coming year, with a particular emphasis on free cash flow, margins, and return on average capital employed. Our guidance for FY24 is for revenue in the range of $1.7 to $1.8 billion, and growth in underlying EBITA to $130 to $140 million. This is supported by a strong order book of $5.1 billion, with around $1.6 billion of work already secured for FY24. Our established track record of growth and delivering on market guidance has been built on the back of a clear long-term strategy, careful investment in the business, and the dedication and commitment of our incredible and talented workforce. Another priority will be to ensure the smooth transition of our board, with several board changes announced post-year-end. These include directors Alex Ramley and Arif Sidarto stepping down to concentrate on the management of Oman post its listing on the 7th of July. We subsequently welcome Dave Gibbs to the board as the Oman nominee. Also, our Chair, Eva Skira, announced her resignation as a Director and Chair of the Board at the conclusion of Macmahon's annual general meeting later this year after 12 years of amazing service. Hamish Tyrwhitt, the current Director, will assume the role of Chair after the AGM. On behalf of the Macmahon team, I want to sincerely thank our outgoing directors for their significant contributions over the years and wish them all the very best. And I personally would like to thank Alex, Arif and Eva for their support over the years. With that, I'd like to hand back to the operator to open for questions.